This is the M6P, episode 134, with your host, Andy Kirby.
And Jared Mayo.
Jared Mayo, right off the bat, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Piercings, tattoos, what do you got going on?
Wow, that's very personal for her. Well, how about this? What do you think I got going on, Andy?
I feel like I'm sad to say that I don't know for sure. I feel like there's no tattoos, and I feel like you had one ear pierced. Is that true or no?
Wow, you do know me, Andy. You do.
Okay, so that's true?
That is true. Most people have seen me almost naked because I ran around on a stage in a little Speedo. So if I had a tattoo, there's only a couple places it could be. And it's true. Not there.
Gotcha.
So no tats, and I had my ear pierced. I got it pierced when I was 18, and it fell out. Funny story, it fell out a couple years into our marriage when I was peeing. It fell into the toilet, and while I was peeing, and I was like, well, I'm not reaching in to get it, so I guess I'm just not going to have a pierced ear anymore.
wait. You didn't get a different earring? Like, I mean, what was the earring that was so, like, you couldn't replace it?
No, it wasn't a replacement. It was just kind of like, I think I'm out of that stage now in life that I don't know that I need a pierced ear.
Okay.
Right. So it was kind of like God said, well, I took away your earring. You're right.
Do you still have a hole or did it close up?
It did not close up. A lot of people's closes, but not mine. Where did that question come from, Mr. Kirby?
Well, not Felicity. Elizabeth just had her 15th birthday. And for her 15th birthday, I took two of my daughters, Elizabeth and Deidre, to go get their nails done, which was the first time they've ever gotten their nails done. Aww. And then after that, we went to a fine jewelry place to get piercings.
And how did that go?
Well, did we talk about this? I can't remember if we talked about this.
I don't believe so.
Okay. So I was like, okay, so what piercings are we getting here? And it wasn't like, I was fine to go to a tattoo shop, but no, Jackie made appointments for them to go to this fine jewelry piercing place, which everything was gold and titanium and cost so much. And the kids didn't know it cost a ton. And so they like were picking out what they wanted. And I was like, all right, give me a running total. Cause I was like, this is so expensive. And like the lady said, okay, we're up to 500.
No.
And yeah. And so my daughters, who are very good at being okay with, they're very content. And so they were like, whoa, no. We just want the regular, like, non-allergy metal. Like, we don't need titanium. We don't need gold, you know, like, so point us to that. And so there was not a whole lot of that in the store, but they picked the cheapest that they could find, which I was pretty proud of them, not like just racking up a ton of bill because it was a special day or whatever. So Ellie was getting, this is going to sound like a bad parenting, but Ellie was getting her third lobe piercing and her second cartilage piercing. So she was getting numbers 6, 7, 8. Yeah, she was getting them 6, 7, 8.
Well, what about that makes bad parenting?
I don't know, because she sounds like she's all pierced up and everything, and she's 15. But, I mean, when you look at her, it doesn't look excessive.
Well, let me turn the question back to you, because I know the answer. But are you tatted and pierced up?
Well, okay. So Deidre got her front helix. So are you, so like the opposite of the cartilage in the back ear, she got it on the front side. And her plan is to run a chain between the two.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And how does Mama feel about that?
It's like an inch, so it's fine. So I don't think it's like a big deal.
Her nose or anything.
No. We have told, well, actually, okay. This is going to sound like bad parenting. Yeah. We said no lips, no eyebrows, no tongue, no body. But we would allow the nose if they wanted.
Gosh, that doesn't sound like bad parenting.
Well, it depends. I mean, I'm sitting here in my office in a very conservative Christian organization, you know?
Yeah, but I bet they, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's okay.
So me, I don't have any piercings, but I do have one tattoo on each of my fingers on my left hand, except for my thumb. Is that a finger? I don't know. I got four tattoos, but I got them at the same time, so I have one tattoo. I don't know. I don't know how you count it.
And what do those represent for you if you feel like sharing?
Oh, I don't want to go into the whole big thing. Like, didn't we do this? I think we did this already on the podcast a long time ago because I remember sending over a picture or something. But
if you don't want to, it's totally fine, man.
No, I share the gospel with them. So the good news of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin, how we can have a right relationship with God. And when our time here on earth is done, we get to be with Jesus and God, who loves us and sent Jesus to die for our sins. He loved us so much, he didn't let us stay guilty. You know, sin has to be punished. That's what the Bible says. Everybody sinned. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And you can only be saved through the name of Jesus. So anyway, I'm very passionate about the gospel. I love the gospel. I look at it and I really, like, I'm so thankful. So I use my tattoos in order to share the gospel and kind of say, oh, this finger means this, then that leads to this, that leads to this, that leads to this. And so if people are interested in hearing about it, it's a good way to share the gospel.
Yeah. I agree.
So I think, and see, this is where it came from, our conversation. The girls saw me looking at like gauges and spacers.
Interesting.
Basically, they flat out read my mind and they were like, you know, if mom ever died, there's really nothing holding you back. You would really go over the edge. And I was like, no, not too much. I'm like, I know what I would want. I would want like the smallest gauge, just a black dot on both ears. And then, but I probably would get tons more tattoos. So they were like, no, we would be in charge of keeping you on this side of the ledge.
Well, I feel like we have more to discuss now. You have opened up the floodgates. With the piercing, I didn't know. So is that something Jackie just doesn't prefer for you to have? And that's why you don't?
I feel like I'm so old. Like, I feel I don't know. I think Jackie would have an opinion of me, like, what are you doing? And that's like most of my life. And so I hate to add more to that. I really want her approval.
Sure.
So I don't necessarily want to be doing stuff that I know that she would be questioning, like, my sanity.
Right. You want to be, you know, if there's something that you do that she finds unattractive, she's the only one you're trying to be attractive to, so thus you don't do that.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And I just did not picture you for wanting to get tatted up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What? I'm learning new revelation today.
Okay, so what I would do on my other hand, I think I would have the colors of the wordless book, another way to share the gospel. So like gold, black, red, white, green, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I would do that in the same location on the other hand and just like rectangles. But okay, so I know you're not like a exploratory music guy, but one of the lead guitar, like this is going to be ridiculous. Anybody who's listening to this, you're going to be, if you're a kid, your parents are going to be like, are you serious? Mr. Andy said. So I know it's ridiculous, but if you look up the lead guitarist, I think his name is Tim Henson from Polyphia, that dude has amazing tattoos. Like, and I'm talking like throat, chest, arms, hands. Those are awesome.
Wow. Throat?
I would definitely do arms and hands for sure.
Really?
So yeah.
would you get big and jacked for those? Because some people are like, I'm not going to get a tat until I'm huge.
I think, no. I think what I would do is just make sure I was slimmed down so that like, Not big muscles, but no body fat.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I'm talking to a new man.
Are you serious? You wouldn't have thought this?
No. No. You just got done saying, I don't know about putting a gauge in my ear because I work at a very conservative place. And now you're like, but I'll tat up my neck.
For some reason... I didn't say I would tat up my neck. I would say that dude has awesome tattoos and he just happens to be on his throat.
That just happened to have a teardrop by his eye.
So no tattoos? You would never do it?
No, I would get too, I like, I don't think I would like to look at that every day. I think it would be cool for a little bit, and then I'd want to change it. So I would need like stick-ons or temporary tattoos I can do every day. But if it was there all the time, like, oh, I don't want it there anymore. I want to put something else there.
See, I would get these minimalist tattoos, like with the lines and stuff like that.
But why?
I think they look so cool. I don't know if I have a good reason. I really don't know.
Yeah. I remember back in the day, like the tribal bands around the arms, that was really cool. And then the tramp stamp on the lower back, that was really cool.
I don't know if I appreciate the comparison, but yes, I understand.
I'm just trying to think what everybody I knew when I was in 25 years old got and had. And then now that they're 40, they're like, oh, I should have never done that.
See, I don't think I would get something that everybody else has. Because actually, both of my daughters, Deidre and Felicity, were going to get nose piercings. But when they came back to America and they saw that, like, it was so prevalent, they were like, nope, can't do it. Mm. Like, if more people have it, they'll say no.
Gotcha. They want to be different.
Word.
Yeah. Huh. Wow, Andy, I did not know that.
Well, I mean, I don't want you to think less of me either. So I can just say that I made it all up.
Oh, no. It has nothing to do with, I don't think lots of people have tattoos or piercings. It just did not jump into what I thought your personality style was about drawing on your body. I mean, I knew you had your hand tattoos, and never would I thought you wanted to appear. I thought, I don't know. When I start to think that you're more buttoned up than you are, then you hit me with something like that, you know? You're very layered, Andy.
Oh, I mean, come on. Yeah. No, I like the idea of decorating the body. And I don't think it looks cool on me. And but I would love to wear a ton of bracelets or wristbands. Bracelets are for girls, wristbands are for guys. But I do so much typing at my job, they get in the way. And I can't even stand a watch. So I don't know.
Be like Cyndi Lauper over there or something. Flying all over the place. She had to take off
straight to the moon, like Cyndi Lauper.
When she was singing We Are the World, she had to take off all her necklaces because they kept making noise when she would sing into the microphone.
That's really funny. All right. That's crazy. Should we get into this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is the M6P. This is a comic book podcast, believe it or not. No, we just did an intro about tattoos and piercings, but really you got to know us. You got to know who we are, who the M6P really is. So you can visit our website, them6p.com. You can call us and leave a message and tell us what tattoo you would get if you were brave enough or if somebody was not holding you back in a non-negative way. Like your spouse, you know, you can call us at 616-755-TINA. You can email us at m6pllc@gmail.com. We will read your email on the air.
Yes. And you can hit us up on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. We're there. Mostly on YouTube and Facebook is where we do most of our content. Just do a search for the M6P. We will show up and it will be great.
We are sponsored by CRPSavings.com, Community Retail Partnership, CRPSavings.com. This is an Office Depot Office Max purchasing power solution. So if you want office supplies, if you want paper, if you want print jobs at discounted rates, wholesaler rates, and deeper than that, then CRPSavings.com. Email us, reach out to us. We have a dedicated Office Depot rep who negotiates purchasing prices for us. If you have a nonprofit, we can hook you up with a tax-exempt status. These people, they started this when the economy in 2008, when the economy was in the tank and everybody was cutting budgets, and especially for churches is actually how it started. Nonprofits and churches who they rely on their congregations. So we've been getting people hooked up with them for as long as almost the podcast has been.
Yeah, CRP is great. They're awesome. We're also sponsored by MichaelWebSolutions.com. MichaelWebSolutions is an SEO company that does the best search engine optimization around. So whether you have issues with your name coming up when it's Googled, or you want to fix the website and get everything running smoothly, michaelwebsolutions.com is going to be your best bet. And lastly, we're sponsored by ourselves, The Marvelous Box. So you can check out themarvelousbox.com, and it is a subscription service, blind box, Marvel graphic novels to your front door. Over $100 of graphic novels in each box for only $25 on a quarterly basis. It's great.
Okay, this week we are doing a retro review. Now, we're going to do these from time to time. This is kind of like a meaningful issues or pinnacle issues or turning point issues. This one happens to be a number one because we've been hanging out doing number ones recently. Last time we did a podcast, we did Edge of Spider-Verse number one. What a fantastic one that was. This one is a throwback. Jared, this was your choice. Can you tell me which issue, who wrote it, who's the artist, and what year it's from?
Well, if you're going to San Francisco, that's what we're going to do. We're going to San Francisco with The Uncanny X-Men by Karen Gillan. This was the 2011 run when the X-Men hit up San Francisco as the Extinction Team.
Okay. What year is this, you said?
2011.
Okay. All right. So why did you pick this issue?
I really love the Extinction Team. I'll tell you that much. This was right after the Schism, which we did cover on this podcast. I remember covering it. And especially, it was so there was an issue right before this that the X-Men teams were divided up. You know, who was going to be on Cyclops' team, who was going to be on Wolverine's team. And they kind of made it like this tribal, I don't know, do you remember that, Andy? The tribal division?
Yes, yep.
That was X-Men Regenesis number one. And it was really, really cool. I remember us covering that. And so this issue takes place right after that. Cyclops has chosen his team. It's a powerhouse team. It is a power keg of a team. Arguably one of, if not the most powerful X-Men teams ever created and put together. And with such a small roster, it wasn't a huge roster of 20 or 30 people. It was very small, but these people got things done, whether it was being powerhouses or their cunning and their fierceness. The Extinction Team, they got it done, man, you know?
Okay, so you really enjoyed Regenesis, or you just enjoyed this team, or like the whole, because like what other books were going on at the same time? We had Wolverine, then the X-Men, right, which was the school, but that was on the other side. We had X-Men, we had X-Men Legacy, we had New Mutants, we had Generation Hope, right?
Yes.
All right, I can't remember if I left any out.
Well, X-Factor was also going on at that time.
Oh, right. But that one was kind of like in its own corner of the universe, right?
Sure. The main two were Wolverine and the X-Men, and then Uncanny X-Men, this one. Those were the main rosters. And then, you know, there were those side books of the New Mutants and things like that.
Now, I remember, was this around the time? This was probably a year and a half, 2 years after Gishler did his Dracula stuff with, I don't know if it was Point Number One or A New Era or whatever, but that's when the X-Men title rebooted. But we still had X-Men Legacy by, what's the dude's name? It's escaping me.
Was it Mike?
Yeah, Mike Carey. Yep, the guy who wrote Unwritten. Yep.
Yeah, and we had that. We had the vampire stuff, and then that eventually transitioned into part of the Extinction Team. It was more of a female. It was Storm, Psylocke, Jubilee, Domino, with the appearance by Warpath and Colossus, ended up being that part of the team. And we kind of started to see the fissure growing between Storm and Cyclops in that title.
Yeah. Okay, so I had no idea that you really loved this team as a powerhouse. That's very interesting to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can put together, so Wolverine for me, he has to be on your team if you are coming up with an X-Men roster. It's like having an Avengers team without Captain America, having a Fantastic Four without Mr. Fantastic. That's how it is. you have Wolverine. So when this was announced that, you know, it was going to be Cyclops and Wolverine against each other and Wolverine was going to be on a team, like, how are you going to make this roster work for Jared? I don't know how you're going to do it. Well, he did it. He got it put together. I love that as you're reading, you know, Cyclops gets his whole team together and he talks to them about, you know, what our purpose is, what we're going to be doing here. And Storm sets up and she says, let's play a game. Raise your hand if you've never gone through a stage that others characterized as mainly supervillain. And Storm, Hope, and Cyclops are the only ones that raise their hands. And yep. Storm, she side-eyes Cyclops and says, I'm not sure you should have your hands. So this was what kind of made this team so different, is that it was almost like X-Force light. And I loved X-Force when Cyclops put together that killing team. And this team, while they may not be killers, they've been villains in the past. Storm is going to have to step up and be that moral compass. I don't really count Hope. She was just kind of a kid running around with them.
Yeah.
And then how that kind of plays against these archetypes like Cyclops, Magneto, and Emma Frost on the team. You've got the King of Atlantis also joining your team. Colossus is possessed by the Juggernaut, and magic is trying to keep him at bay while dealing with the Danger Room in a physical female body also on your team. The dynamics of this just blew my mind in how the interpersonal relationships worked with one another.
That's very interesting to me, just because when I reread this, I think I had the exact same feeling that I had when I read it the first time. I was like, man, these people, they do not do it for me. It's like I like Namor somewhat, but I find him to be very one-dimensional. I really like Magneto. I really like Magneto because I feel like he has a lot to offer. He could be argued as one-dimensional as well, but like when you sit down to talk to him, you kind of get like, okay, I see where you're coming from. I see what the tactics you take. I understand. Emma Frost, I like the, you know, the new X-Men era of Emma Frost, but I did not like Danger. I thought Hope was squandered. Storm, I just don't know as much. I do like her as the moral compass. I know that Juggernaut has... Did you say he came off of Fear itself?
Yeah, so he was still battling with Juggernaut inside.
And Magic, I think we had Infernus around this time. I can't remember when that was. But I think with X-Factor going on and X-Force, Remender's X-Force was going on at the same time, I really enjoyed those two books. And I think I just lost hope in Hope at this time. And so I was reading this and I was like, what is this? Now, one thing when I did read this, I mean, you can walk us through the issue. But as we're going, I thought this was a very interesting stepping stone to the Krakoa era.
In how they kind of separated themselves.
Yeah, and like what they were saying, like, oh no, we'll protect you, but you need to fear us. And
right,
like we are looking out for our own. Like this is like kind of that in between, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, you're very right. This is definitely a great precursor, almost 10 years before Krakoa hit. And you got to wonder if maybe this, because Jonathan Hickman said when he did House of X and Power of X that he reread every X-Men book.
Are you serious? Wow, goodness.
Yeah, he read from the beginning, and that's why there were so many sweet continuity little things in those issues that he first started. And who knows, maybe he picked this up and said, there's something here. And I remember reading Giant Size X-Men with this island, Krakoa. Maybe we should do something, you know?
Yeah. Do you want to walk us through this issue?
Yeah, for the most part, this issue is just kind of setting the table. Like I said, we just came off Schism, and so Wolverine has established his team over in New York at the Jean Grey School, and then Cyclops has established himself here in San Francisco. So this just, for the most part, sets up what's going on, lays the table here, introduces us to the team and a little bit of the dynamic. Like I said, the whole scene at the table with raising the hands of who's been a villain and who's not really I don't know if you were like pouring, I'm thinking of the Sherwin Williams logo with the paint being poured over the earth.
Yeah, right.
That scene is kind of the paint that's being poured over this series. This series only lasted 20 issues, but it all kind of goes back to that raise your hand scene in thinking of how people made the decisions that they did and why they did what they did. So that it's just that scene just sticks out to me so much. Also introduces some of our side characters. They're a part of Cyclops' group, but not necessarily the Extinction Team. So you've got big hitters like Psylocke, but then we're also introduced to the science team, the X Club. They're going to be over here. And we've got the New Mutants that they chose, for the most part, not to go over with Wolverine. So they'll be operating here with Cyclops as well. We know that the Celestial is there in the park. Something's going on with that. And it turns out it's something very sinister. And Sinister has infiltrated and he's messing with the Celestial. And as they go to battle with what's going on, many of the X-Men are taken out very quickly. Colossus is taken out, and he has to defer to the Juggernaut, and Magic is a little apprehensive about him being able to control it. We got Emma's arm being blown off, and some interesting talk between Storm and Magneto. I've always loved their relationship, and you can kind of see some Krakoa stuff in here too. They very much got close during the Krakoa era, during X-Men Red, as they took over and transformed Mars into Arako. And so we get to see a little bit of that. And then ultimately, we get Sinister transforming the head of the Celestial into looking like himself. And he has now established a city of Mr. Sinisters. And how will our heroes ever get out of this?
Now, as you read back through this and you looked at, like, things to come, do you remember these things?
I don't remember all the things. I remember that this series, for the most part, was all against Sinister. The all 20 issues were just going against Sinister for the most part. Do you remember? Do you have that same memory?
I have to confess, I don't remember hardly any of this.
Okay.
So I remember Fear Itself. I remember the Schism. I remember the Divide. I remember being kind of disappointed in both runs. I thought Jason Aaron's run was very silly, with the Brood and everything and the student and Quentin Quire. But this one, I remember is, I don't know if this leads into Necrotia, does it? I can't remember.
No, Necrotia was before this.
Okay, Necrotia was before this. So this, I remember reading this issue, and I remember, like, it's a kind of a new start. But, you know, like, when you said 20 issues, like, what happened? Like, did the title change, or did it reboot, or did it go away?
After Extinction, I'm looking at my shelf. So I can remember.
Okay. I think this leads into AVX. Is that correct?
It does. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then you get the Phoenix Force, right?
Yeah, AVX, and then we get Bendis's run.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't realize they were that close.
Oh, well, about giving myself a brain aneurysm there. How did I not know this? Oh, my gosh.
So this leads into AVX, which leads into Bendis's run. And the way that they kind of wrap that up is they call back the old original team, right?
Yes.
And so you kind of, I mean, drawing the line between this and how Scott is talking, and then how he acts. I remember that Uncanny X-Men where he has the X symbol, like, with his hands. I'm doing it like you can't even see, but I'm doing it in front of the microphone in the security camera.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, I think that, you know, and then they're on the run, and then you have Gold Balls and everything like that coming through, right?
Man, Gold Balls and Tempest and good times with Gold Balls. He's now called Egg.
So, yeah. So did you like this run? It was all about Sinister. How did it resolve with Sinister? Do you remember?
Oh, Andy, you're putting me on the spot, man.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I remember something about, like, I want to say Madeline Pryor might have had something to do there at the end. I remember there was, like, all these bat. What was the Phoenix? The characters got the Phoenix, and they destroyed Sinister's spot. He like had this castle with all his clones and things.
Yeah,
and they took it out. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, there's Cyclops holding his arms up. Oh, we also had Unit. Do you remember Unit?
No.
He was like that flying silver thing with no legs.
Oh, he's on the page right here. Things to come. Yeah. Like X-Men or Cyclops is bowing down to him a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah, gosh. Now I need to go back and reread this.
Would you go back and reread it? Like, what if when you read this, were you like, hey, this is good enough, I'm going to go back and reread this?
Yeah, because look at me. I'm the X-Men expert, and I struggled to say what happened. I feel terrible.
Yeah, but are you doing that out of pride? Would you reread these out of pride, or would you reread these out of pleasure? Because, like, man, this was great.
No, as I'm going through this, I think it would be pleasure, because there were definitely great part. Like, so I'm at this part where the Phoenix has possessed, you know, most of our cast from the Extinction Team, Uncanny X-Men number 13. And we've got Magneto, Storm, Psylocke together talking on the run, because the Phoenix Four, those guys are kind of out of control and running the show. And just to see the three of them, you know, they're pouring water into cups and trying to console each other. And how do we three, well, two of us are super powerful. How do we do this? I remember really being into that, because it was a how do we overcome this?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, there's definitely some fillers in here. There's some Abigail Brand stuff. There's where Namor, you know, makes out with that alien thing, and that was really weird.
I do say when I reread this, I went through, and when Emma Frost's arm falls off, I was like, oh man, oh, I wonder how do you fix that? Like, that did make an impact. I was surprised.
Not one to last, though. She got it back.
Yeah, but still. I'm trying to think back, like, what is the quintessential X-Men era that I like, that I would go back to? You know, if it wasn't this, was it before this? And I, like, I'm trying to understand, like, is it just because that's where I started, or what, you know?
Did you come up with one?
I'm thinking, like, well, I love the new X-Men. I love Grant Morrison's run. I know that's highly debated, but that's kind of where I started. And then you have the other side of that, the Uncanny run during that. But that's when you have, like, She Lies with Angels and the Draco and Golgotha and Love Triangle. And it's kind of like...
Yeah, Chuck Austin.
Was that really good? Or was that, like, people hate that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was really... Chuck Austin did not leave a good taste in people's mouths.
So, but then you have the new era, which is Claremont coming back, I think, a little bit after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I like the whole thing with John Sublime, but the art, Frank Quitely, obviously, is an acquired taste.
He is. But have you ever read the original Claremont stuff?
No, see, I haven't. And that's what last time when we did the episode, I was pleasantly surprised, because I didn't think I was going to like it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it reminds me, you are to X-Men, you are to new X-Men as I am to Straczynski Spider-Man, because that's kind of where I started reading Spider-Man. So for me, that's probably the quintessential stuff. But I know that the original stuff with Kirby and Ditko and Stan and all those guys, Romita, those are classics. I've just never read them.
Yeah. You know, I tried to go back and read those many, many years ago, and it just didn't have the staying power. And I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to be interested, then I'm going to go back to some of these more iconic runs. And well, I guess I can't say that. They're not more iconic, but some of the more familiar runs, like Joe Kelly and stuff like that, that are more recent.
Yeah.
But, you know, our last episode, we were talking about Ethan Edwards. I was going back and looking at those covers. You're laughing. But I was going back and I was like, man, that Marvel Knights, I would go back and read that. I would read a couple issues of that. That'd be awesome.
Marvel Knights was a lot of fun. Those 12 issues by Millar were great.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you have the venomous, the scorpion gets venom and everything, and it kind of changes a little bit. And Terry Dodson and Rachel Dodson. Oh, fantastic art. Just fantastic.
I agree.
And who doesn't love Terry Dodson with the black cat? I mean, come on. That was quite a snicker you had there.
She was drawn very, I can remember reading her on my lunch break as a teacher. It's like, oh my goodness.
I think that's where you would like Terry Dodson drawing Megan.
Oh, from Excalibur?
From Excalibur, yes.
That's
funny. Look at those feet. Oh, well, that was fun, man. I like, we're going to have to pick more of these retro issues, these one-offs or, you know, something like that. I'll pick one for next time we do this. We don't have to do it every single time, but yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So I had an idea, you know, we have some catchphrases in the Marvel Universe, and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be fun to come up with some catchphrases and kind of see if we could do this, you know, like we have the Thing, which says it's clobbering time. We have Hulk smash. We have you know, Doctor Strange by the horary hosts or by the Eye of Agamotto. What are some of the other ones that people are well known for after I chose all the easy ones?
Wait, are we coming up with our own or are we picking our favorite?
We're coming up with our own.
Oh, Andy, Jared did not understand the assignment.
Oh, no.
Jared okay. picked five of his favorites.
Hey, that's fine. You could do that and I can tell you what I came up with.
Okay. Oh, Jared, he's just a little slower than Andy.
No, I guess I didn't. I mean, I guess I didn't explain it. That's fine. My bad. I'll take the hit. That's fine.
No, it's not your hit. I'm going back through and seeing what you said. We make up catchphrases for five characters. I read that. Pick five of your favorite catchphrases.
A little bit different.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So how about I go and I'll bookend those?
Okay.
Okay. Now, I don't know how this is going to go over, but this is like in my mind. I'm going to space out like what I see here, okay?
Okay.
So, Quicksilver. He comes in, he's a speedster. I see him using this phrase many, many times, whether it be for X-Factor or whether it be for him, like the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants or the X-Men or whatever. But like, depending on his facial expressions, he could do this either way and be a villain or a superhero. But like, if he showed up right when he was like swiping somebody away or, you know, like hitting somebody or something, it could be like in the nick of time.
In the nick of time. I like it.
The nick of time. So like, whether he's coming in, like you could always see that catchphrase, and not like he would think it's his catchphrase, but he says it a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you think? Would it work?
I think it's perfect. I think he'd say it with some attitude too.
Okay. All right. Right on. All right.
You know, that's a good one. Look at you understanding the assignment.
I came up with the assignment.
So you want me to just say one of my favorites then?
Yes. Yeah. Do that. Oh, yeah.
Well, by the goddess.
And who says that?
Oh, you know who says Storm. Storm. Mistress of the element.
The Wind Rider? Am I right on that?
Wind Rider, correct.
I felt so bad when I messed that up.
I couldn't believe you didn't get that. You didn't know.
Two episodes ago, I felt so stupid. Okay, so you like, is that one you like?
Yeah, because Storm says it.
That's really deep.
It is. It's meant a lot to me as a kid growing up. By the goddess.
Okay, this one is Howard the Duck. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Now I don't know if you know like the licensing restrictions with Disney and everything for Howard the Duck, but and especially I think Taylor Swift has this song now, but I think he would be like, I wear the pants. So because he has to wear pants all the time because he can't be Donald Duck.
That's very true. I think that's a good one. Him and Quicksilver could carry him, and they
so like run. If he comes in and they're like, wow, you're really good at this, he's like, yeah, I wear the pants.
Yeah, I like it. That's great, Andy. You're good at these.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they go downhill.
Oh, okay. Well, another one that I do enjoy is when Beast says, oh, my stars and garters.
I like that one. Yeah.
It's great. Just it's very mature of him to say this like old grandpa kind of thing. Oh, my stars and garters.
I do like that one. All right. This one, Invisible Woman would say this. Like, I think whenever she's putting up a force field, either around her or other people to protect or like keeping things away, I think she could say personal space.
So these all kind of have a little bit of a comedy edge to them.
Well, I mean, we're talking about comics and like I can see them quipping, you know?
I think so. I don't know about Sue. Do you think Sue's much of a quipper?
I think that when she gets intense in a battle scene, yeah, she gets a little frustrated and that comes out in her what she says.
Yeah, I think you're right.
She's got that motherly instinct, you know?
Personal space.
Personal space.
She was the original 6 feet.
Right, yeah, COVID.
All right, this is classic. I'm the best there is at what I do, but what I do best isn't very nice.
That's, you know, I've always found that to be way too long.
Well, he also says, grr, bub.
That's a good one, too.
I've done that.
But what are your thoughts on that? Like, it got to the point where he said it so much that you could just say, I'm the best there is at what I do. And then you could assume the rest, right?
Well, it's very Claremontian. of him.
Claremontian, yes, yes, Claremontian.
Like, every time Psylocke showed up and she used her psychic knife, she would say, "My psychic knife is the full totality of my powers." Okay, thanks for explaining that.
I remember you saying that when we were reading that issue. She didn't say it. I didn't know what was going on.
Right.
Okay, this one, I can see Cyclops saying this, but I can see him being like very serious and not even thinking that it would be considered a joke. Like if he was like trying to motivate his team or trying to keep them on task, he would be like laser focus.
Laser focus, yes, kind of dad joke.
Yeah, but I don't think he's funny at all. I don't think he's got a humorous bone in his body.
No, he doesn't. He's a stick up his butt. Well, my next one is Cyclops 2 and his phrase that he said more in the animated series than anything else. Gene!
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, he could very not good help himself.
Okay, this one's a little iffy. It can be misconstrued. I didn't know whether to put it on the list because of this guy's powers. Mandrill.
Okay.
I can hear you shaking your head.
Well, it's so random. Mandrill?
I think I can see him like delightfully, gleefully saying, "Monkey see, monkey do."
Yeah, a very tongue-in-cheek there.
Yes, yeah. But does his power only work on women?
You know, I don't have a lot of Mandrill appearances in my collection.
I think that's a gap you need to fill up, man. Like, I think you need to shore up that. I don't, how can you not have a ton of Mandrill in your collection?
I think if you could just give me three good, really Mandrill stories, I would do that.
Okay, I can give you one. Spider-Man Breakout.
Yes, I have that one. Oh, I think I might have sold it. I did have it, at least.
He was in one recently, but when I say recently, it means over the past 5 years. And the art was super wonky. It was really, like, sideways and stylized. It wasn't good.
Mandrill, he just never gets his due.
Tell me about it, right?
No, poor guy. My last one is Sweet Christmas with Luke Cage.
That is good.
So, I loved hearing him say it in the Netflix show.
You know what ruined that Netflix show for me was when he did the dab.
For me, it was when after Marshala Ali,
yeah,
when he was killed.
I think you're absolutely right. Now, but he's coming back as Blade, though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
After he left and was killed off in that series, it definitely went downhill.
Yeah, he was really good.
All right, my last one, Kazar.
Yeah.
I feel it in my loins.
That made me snot a little bit. That was good. Inappropriate, but good.
I mean, he's wearing a loincloth, you know. It works.
Also good for cosplay.
No. I think you could pull it off, but I don't know many other people that could.
I think if you got your sleeve tat, then you could be like tatted Kazar.
I think I would do like Eddie Brock if I got my sleeve tat.
Yeah, but you've already done Eddie Brock.
In that iconic... Yeah, you're absolutely right. When people ask me what I'm going, like if I'm dressing up for Halloween, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Peter Parker. Like, why wouldn't I dress up as Peter Parker?
Yeah.
Especially in Spectacular Spider-Man. I was told that the long sleeves under the short sleeve is not in anymore. Were you told this?
I didn't have to be told. I just knew.
Okay.
I was just told that skinny jeans are not in anymore.
For guys or girls?
For guys. That if you wear skinny jeans as a guy, it shows that you're a millennial.
I'm pretty sure that they were never a good idea, though.
They weren't, but they were in. They were never a good idea, but they were in.
Yeah. I don't need my booty to look bigger than what it is.
That's a good segue.
That's a good. I think we're done with this. I think that might have been Mandrill's. That might have been Kazar. I don't know. All right. Well, this is the M6P. Thank you for tuning in. One of our better episodes, I must say. All right. So again, why don't you email us m6plc@gmail.com. If you have an issue that you love that we can dig up, let us know. We'll read it for the show. You can call us 616-755-TINA. Go to our website, themsixp.com.
You can check us out on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter under the handle TheM6P.
And again, we are sponsored by CRPSavings.com, Community Retail Partnership, Michael Webb Solutions, and of course, the Marvelous Box. That's the big one. Don't forget that one, guys. Come on. The Marvelous Box. That's the one that gets you comics to your door. That's the one you need.
That's true. Get it.
So you got anything to say before we sign off, man?
Oh, it was a good show. Go read Extinction X-Men.
Yeah, right. I saw one last comment. Like, I saw in the back of this how X-Sanctions was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
What, that was terrible. If you had said, we're going to read X-Sanctions number one, I'd be like, nope, no, we're not.
Well, there's always next episode.
If we're going to read a Jeff Loeb story, it's going to be Spider-Man Blue. That's just what it's going to be. And then you can listen to me cry on the podcast.
I can do that. I'm down.
I am down. I will listen to you cry anytime. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. And so, Jared Mayo, until next time, make yours the M6P.